Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Tonight, we go beyond the quest for mythic physique and beyond the quest for optimal wellness in our conversations with Michael DelRussi of Bold Spirits, Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm good. Happy to be with Hercules and the Olympians and all of the heroes that may be listening tonight.
And I'm happy that you're here, and I'm sure all who are listening are happy as well. I was excited by your list of topics tonight. We went to the Golden Fleece, to aging gracefully, to muscle flushing, and classic sci-fi. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, and I'd like to open with an affirmation of purpose, if I might.
Yes, of course.
And I'd like to share these thoughts and reflections with the audience. Bold Spirits has been called to both inform the listeners about non-toxic healing modalities and also to present creative techniques that can be adopted on a daily basis that may slow the degenerative process we know as aging. Being aware that various healing modalities may work for different individuals, at the end of the day, it is the awareness of these integrative modalities that matters most. Thus, through this awareness, we may already claim the golden fleece of vibrant mortality, royal kinship on the journey to divine health. And with those thoughts and reflections, I want to say how happy I am to be here and share some information with the listeners.
Well, thank you. That was beautiful. And the golden fleece is an apt symbol of renewal, of regeneration, and of rightful leadership. The fleece was a symbol that brought prosperity and justice to the Colchides, where it hung for many years before Jason and his crew retrieved it and brought it back to Zeus's temple in Greece.
I'm so happy you shared that history with us, and this is going to be the beginning of a series with the fleece as its emblem, so to speak, and I hope, again, to share some very, very, very much cutting-edge information with the heroes in the coming weeks.
Oh, that is great.
I would like to share, if I can, some thoughts on the COVID situation.
Yes, of course.
Johnson & Johnson, I guess many of the listeners may have heard tonight, the vaccine could raise the risk for a severe neurological disorder, and the FDA is warning about that. There's also a report from CNN. CDC says that 5,800 fully vaccinated people have gotten COVID anyway. Now, I believe it's been about maybe 8 months since I first initiated a warning to the listeners and presented the prospect of utilizing natural non-toxic therapies to stimulate and boost the immune response in order to help to protect individuals from this vaccine. It's approximately 8 months later. There are individuals out there, researchers, homeopathic physicians that are sending out the same message. Unfortunately, from what I can see, we continue to be in the minority. I think in my 69 years of living, and I've lived through the chaotic 50s, the peaceful 60s, rather, the peaceful 50s, the turbulent 70s, the me generation of the 80s, I don't think I've ever seen this population more manipulated by the mass media than I have now. And it just seems to be a wave of manipulation. And most people you talk to, not all, just seem to buy into whatever the mass media says or does not say. So here we are 8 months into the pandemic, and we hear tons and tons of news, most of it positive, even though there's some negative out there. I believe it's being underreported about the vaccine, but virtually nothing about nutritional support for the immune response to help protect us from this virus, even though there's been dozens of studies over the last 8 months, some of which I've shared with the audience, to indicate that vitamin C, melatonin, vitamin D3, zinc, selenium, vitamin E can definitely protect the person ingesting these substances from the virus and, of course, slow the progression of other diseases as well. I presented the studies, and yet here we are so many months later, and we hear virtually nothing about nutritional support, and I think it's a disgrace. So what I would like to do is basically I presented what I thought was a concise and firm program to stimulate the immune system, to stimulate killer cell activity, to stimulate thymic activity, macrophage activity, with all of which these cells, all of which prevent and fight disease. So I'd like to go over that program briefly, if I can. I believe
sure.
a firm, strong multi-formula that has most of the bioflavonoids, most of the protective herbs, B-complex vitamins is a good way to start. A vitamin C with bioflavonoids, I would recommend it 2,000 milligrams a day. Vitamin D3, my recommendation would be 25 to 50 micrograms a day. Zinc, 25 to 50 micrograms a day. Selenium, 100 to 200 micrograms a day. Vitamin A, 10,000 international units a day would be good. Vitamin E, 400 international units. And this is important as well to ease inflammation as well as enhance circulation and protect the basic function of the heart. I would recommend fish oil and magnesium. I think adhering to just this simple program can enhance the immune function and help to prevent disease. A multi-formula in even higher doses can help sustain, and singular higher dose of antioxidants can also bolster the protection of the metabolism and the overall immune system. So basically, I think that's a very concise and very efficient program. And I think it's worth mentioning because, again, and this is just tonight, we hear about a risk, and they emphasize the fact that it's rare, but the risk could be there.
Right.
And I would just encourage everyone to explore these non-toxic remedies. I think it's important. I thank divinity that they are available to us. We can take on our own golden fleece when it comes to the journey toward divine health. And this is the essential way to do it, in my opinion.
I have been experimenting with the vitamins that you suggested, and I take, I guess, around three-quarters of the ones that you mentioned on a regular basis. The only ones I haven't been taking regularly are vitamin A, vitamin E, and selenium. The rest I take. Mm-hmm. I also got the inoculation, and it was the Johnson & Johnson. That was the only one that was being offered at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, so I really don't know. I'm not an immunologist. So I decided to do both, to go with what's recommended by our society and its doctors, and also to take whatever steps I could to take responsibility for my health and to take vitamins. One of the things that we found is that wearing the mask, even though the mask makes it difficult to breathe, I haven't had a common cold in a while since wearing the mask, and that my allergies, even though I do have allergic reactions at this time of year, they're less severe because I'm not breathing in, I guess, as much pollen as I was breathing before. So I've heard people talk about that, too, that they've continued wearing the mask, even though they've been inoculated, because it keeps them safe from the cold and from allergies.
Well, I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I read a study, I believe it was last week, that since we've been wearing the masks, most of us anyway, the rate of the common flu went way down. And that was even... That was taking into consideration the flu vaccine. Taking that into consideration, the rate of flu was much lower. So I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I think the masks have been essential in fighting this COVID-19 virus.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm still not convinced. I'm not one of those that is are thoroughly convinced that it's the vaccine that has dropped the rates. And the reason I say that is because 6 months ago, only in my neck of the woods, in my community, in my travels, I would see very few people wearing masks, very few. But now, the last 3-4 months, almost everyone walking down the street has a mask on. So I think that both on a communal level and I think on a worldwide level, I think most people have gotten the message with the masks. I'm so happy you brought that subject up.
Yeah, there's some people, like, for instance, today I saw a report that somebody had COVID and their family had COVID. So they were restricted, you know, they were advised to stay home as much as possible. And they had a house party in their home. So I guess they got loud or something. The police came because of the loudness, and they ascertained the situation. And they asked them, aren't you supposed to be quarantined at home? And he says, well, that's why we're having a house party at home, because we're quarantined at home. So it kind of defeats the whole purpose of quarantining yourself at home.
Right, exactly. And the CDC had also made an announcement, and CNN did report this, that 5,800 fully vaccinated people have gotten COVID anyway. Now it's possible the numbers were even greater than that, but that's the number that they've presented to us at this time. So, and again, one or two weeks ago, there was again confusion. Well, maybe you should wear the mask anyway, even if you're out in public. If you're in a group in your home, you have, as you just described, even if you've been vaccinated, it might be a good idea to wear the mask anyway. There's a lot. I feel there's still much that our scientific community has yet to discover about this virus, and there's much that our average physician has yet to know about this virus. I mean, in many ways, I think we're still winging it. And that's why I think it's so critical for us to do our research in a lively and vigorous manner on what we can do with natural substances to protect ourselves. Let's not forget that our former president, when he evidently had the virus and he had it in a fairly serious manner, shall we say, and he had it strong, and along with the cocktail remdesivir. The drug, they also gave him melatonin, zinc, selenium, vitamin D3, along as a total cocktail. So evidently the physicians treating him must have suspected something or must have felt there was enough evidence to support nutritional substances in fighting this virus. So I think people should remind themselves of that. Melatonin especially has been shown to be, along with vitamin C, to be very effective against virus. So, again, I'm glad that with this series that I'm hoping to continue, we can seek our own golden fleece in terms of vitality, at least in the mortal form. And so that's where I'd like to continue.
Oh, that'd be great. That's something I'm very interested in. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are interested in it. And a lot of people now are getting a lot of different information from a lot of different sources. So it's good to explore what all our options are and to explore on our own and to make the best decisions we could all possibly make.
I think that's the best defense we could have on an individual basis. Absolutely. And what I'd like to share is some concepts that not only to fight disease and prevent disease, but to slow aging on the quantum level. You know, we won't hear this from most of our physicians. When we go into a doctor's office with a specific concern or a specific ailment, naturally they will address that concern. But they won't talk too much or even present a printout, if you will. What can we do to actually slow the degenerative process of aging? What do we know? And I'm sure even your conventional physicians know that there's validity in the free radical concept of aging.
Right.
There's validity in the cross-linkage concept of aging. And I envision a day, and I don't know if it will happen in my lifetime, but when you walk into your physician's office as part of your general physical examination. They will discuss with you the process of aging, the various aspects of aging, what foods accelerate the aging process. I envision a day, at least I pray it will come, where that will be commonplace in the office of even the most conservative physician, if you will. And I think that day will come. It may not be in my lifetime, but I believe that day will come. But what I'd like to share is, to me, there should be some main goals. Taking steps on a daily basis to avoid the onset of degenerative disease,
right,
and also taking steps on a daily basis to slow the progress of aging on the cellular level where it all begins. To me, that means applying modification as inspired by holistic thinking in terms of diet, environment, emotional, and spiritual aspects of our lives. And that starts with the cells. You know, had a very interesting program. You and I were sharing information last time. Everything begins with the cells. So the definition of quantum, in the simplest terms, is the smallest possible unit of any physical property, such as energy or matter. Antioxidant defense and healing at the cellular level, when healthy cells are weakened, they are more susceptible to cardiovascular disease and certain kinds of cancer. So research has shown that antioxidants such as vitamin C, vitamin E, the carotenoids, selenium, and garlic help protect cells from damage caused by these free radicals. So I think first and foremost, the free radical concept is still the main one that most physicians and most scientists agree contribute to accelerated aging. So if we can just focus on those basic antioxidants, the ones that we were just discussing and the ones that I've presented here, vitamin C being the main one, and of course vitamin D3 and E, selenium and zinc are vitally important. And besides fighting free radical activity, we know that zinc is very protective for the eyes, for the prostate, has been shown to be effective in terms of preventing certain metastatic diseases of the breast. Selenium also, studies have been done in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that show that states in this country that have the highest rate of selenium have the lowest rate of certain cancers, especially hormone-driven cancers. So I think all of this research is very interesting, it's very exciting, and it should make all of us want to continue to pursue information on these wonderful nutrients that the earth is offering to us to help extend our lives and perhaps prevent some of these degenerative processes.
Right.
So what are free radicals and what do they do to the body? And I think it's important to share with the listeners just the basics of what they are. Free radicals are atoms that contain unpaired electrons. Due to this lack of a stable number of outer shell electrons, they're in a constant search to bind with other electrons to stabilize themselves, a process that can then cause damage to DNA and other parts of human cells. So that basically is what free radical activity is and what it does. So then the next aspect of the research would be what causes free radicals. Free radicals are derived from either normal essential metabolic processes in the human body or from external sources such as exposure to X-rays, ozone, cigarette smoke, air pollutants, and toxins in processed foods. So we know those are the basic sources of free radicals, but then there are others, and this concerns diet. What foods are high in free radicals? We know the foods are high on the glycemic index, meaning simple sugars, processed meats of all kinds, such as bacon, sausage, and cold cuts. And, you know, when I was growing up in the 50s, we were told that most of these meats were, you know, they were good for us. Sausages and eggs were the healthy diet. Bacon and eggs were healthy. I mean, I'm sure you remember those days as well.
I remember. And Wonder Bread.
Yes, Wonder Bread with the balloons on the on the package. I remember Officer Joe Bolton. This may be going back before the time of most. Officer Joe Bolton, he used to be on WPIX Channel 11 in this part of the country. He used to host a program featuring the Three Stooges. And every program, at least two or three parts of that program, he would be advertising the health benefits of Wonder Bread. And he would always encourage the kiddies to look for the red and blue balloons on the package.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we were raised to believe that a heavy diet, a diet heavy in dairy and bread, and some of these meats we're discussing, were basically healthy and were basically good for us. But now we know much better, fortunately.
Right. Yeah, it's surprising how much we've learned during the course of our lifetimes, which, although it seems like a lot, it's relatively short, the span of our lives, and how far we've come in understanding and how far we still have to go in actualizing, putting into practice all the things that we've learned.
Absolutely, and I'm so gratified that we have this information now to that we can glean and that we can use in our daily lives. And again, I think it's two-pronged, both to prevent degenerative diseases and to slow the aging process. And this is information that I think is just priceless for us in our day-to-day lives. And I think moving down the road, it will hopefully, as people adopt these programs, these programs are natural substances, natural foods, that we can slow the rate of some of these awful diseases that continue to plague us and unfortunately plague the average American who adheres to the average American diet. And I'm hoping that will change. I think on some level it is changing, but the rate is surprisingly slow, I'm afraid. Cardiovascular disease, while down in some areas of the country, is still just about the number one killer. And the rate of colon cancer, frighteningly enough, is rising, especially amongst the young. Experts in the medical field are not sure why. They haven't presented to us a reason or a cause at this point. I have my own suspicions, but we will see what the future holds there. But the diets, like the typical American diet, high in saturated fats as well as sugars, and other nutritional insults are known to increase the formation of free radicals and also the amount of low-density lipoprotein that can build up in the arteries. Now, we know those who are athletes, people who work out and train like yourself, you're raising the level of HDL. That's good because HDL, high-density lipoprotein, pushes LDL cholesterol out of the arteries, out of and away from the bloodstream. So the higher your HDL is, the less risk you are in terms of building up dangerous amounts of LDL in the bloodstream. And that's why I think it's so important to exercise on a regular basis.
I love exercising. I see it as not even a process that I do to attain a particular goal, but something I just enjoy doing every day. And I know if I miss a day, I start feeling like something's off. So it's an ingrained habit, but even though I change my workout routines, fairly often, once every month and a half, I look forward to that working out every day. And even if I'm not feeling at my best, I know that if I start doing it, I'll get into it and I'll finish doing it.
And I wanted to ask you, because, you know, it's funny you should say that. I left my gym the other day, over the weekend, I left my gym, and I wasn't having a very good day. But after I finished my workout, there was a euphoria. Mm-hmm. I would liken it to almost a religious experience.
Yes.
Because the euphoria that you can feel and mentally, physically, spiritually, is so uplifting that, you know, there's nothing else really to compare it to. Have you at times experienced that as well?
Oh, yes, many times. I think your brain releases endorphins when you exercise. If you're getting into your workout, you're leaving yourself receptive to the endorphins. So a lot of times I feel great while I'm working out.
It's a tremendous experience. It really is, and that's why I would encourage everyone, if they're not exercising on a daily basis, at least 4 or 5 times a week. It doesn't have to be a lengthy, endurance trial by any means. We know that HIIT training is probably the most effective, short but intense training. But whatever you do, yes, by all means, whether it be cardiovascular, anaerobic, by all means, continue to indulge in a regular exercise activity. It's important, too, that exercise, along with the right foods and supplements, can help reduce oxidative stress on the body. The body becomes more vulnerable with advanced age. Free radicals unleash a chain of chemical reactions on our DNA and other vital cellular components. So how can the body best protect itself against this domino effect of metabolic destruction? Utilizing powerful antioxidant nutrients in the body's cellular soup is the main way. Most experts in the field now agree that free radical-induced damage to hormone receptors, enzymes, proteins, DNA, and cell membranes lead to the development of age-related diseases. So ways free radicals can lead to the degeneration of the body. And these are the various systems that I feel everyone should know about. And again, I think someday our medical experts, if you will, and practitioners will move along to the point where they can share some of this information with the patients on a regular basis. One process is called lipid peroxidation. Fats become rancid when subject to free radicals. Since many forms of fats are involved in hormone transport, it's easy to see how lipid peroxidation can create an inflammatory environment inside the body. The second process of aging that is responsible for accelerated aging is cross-linking. Hormones and many internal structures of the cells are made up of proteins. Free radicals alter the structure of proteins, causing them to fuse together. This causes them to lose the ability to function in a normal manner, causing damage at the cellular level. So cross-linkage, we know, is also a danger. And that also comes from not only rancid fats, high glycemic foods, but in some of the ways we cook our foods. We know now, and Lord knows, 20 years ago, I was not as aware of this certainly, that eating burnt toast, while it may sound harmless enough, and burnt meats can also contribute to an accelerated cross-linking process. And that's why it was advised some years ago by nutritionists and anti-aging specialists that if you're going to barbecue your meats, brush them first with a formula, if you will, of vinegar and tomato products, especially, whether it be ketchup or barbecue sauce, and brush them well, saturate them, because we know now that carotenoids, along with vinegar and garlic, can slow that cross-linking process. So if you're barbecuing, by all means, paint your meats heavily with tomato products, wine vinegars, garlic. This all can help to slow down that process. The next process of aging, of course, and this is probably the most serious we know now, that systemic inflammation contributes to most degenerative diseases. Inflammation throughout the free radicals cause inflammation in humans by the cellular damage that they cause. Chronic inflammation creates even more inflammation, and it becomes a vicious cycle. Inflammation creates inflammation. Free radicals create inflammation. So you can see how this is a major cause of aging throughout the body, your arteries, internal organs, and what have you. The role of free radicals in human inflammatory disease can no longer be in dispute. So I would encourage everyone to do their research on free radicals and how certain nutritional substances can prevent that process from existing on a regular basis inside the body.
Yeah, it's the least we can do as we move through life, because the years pass, and those of us who are fortunate enough to make it to the elder years, or the winter mm-hmm. years, or the silver years, whatever you want to call them, again, you're not as functional regardless of what you did. So you might as well take care of your body so it could last and serve you, and you could enjoy life for as long as you can.
Absolutely, and why not? And that, I believe, is the journey of the gold, the individual journey of the golden fleece that I think we should all begin to aspire to. That golden fleece of holding kinship, if you will, over our health. I believe those pathways are there and they're available to us. All we have to do is begin to seek them.
Oh, most certainly so. And in antiquity, there were several versions of the Golden Fleece, as there are now with the movies that have been made and all the books that have been written and the comic books. So the journey for the Golden Fleece is one that we could take with other people, but also one that we have to take on our own as well, because finding your place in life, your spiritual authority, and rejuvenating and reviving and keeping as young as you can, those are worthy pursuits for anyone and everyone.
Absolutely, and we're all grateful to you for opening up the paths and helping and leading the way for us to share this wisdom and absorb whatever wisdom these pioneers, these warriors, and Olympians are sharing. And you've helped to open up those channels, because I think this information needs to be more available to the public. Anyone exposed to TV on a regular basis, and your average, your conventional news networks, if you will, can see they are not sharing this wisdom with us. For the most part, they just are not. And in fact, I see less and less of it. Instead of it, instead of these experts coming forth with alternative modalities to prevent disease and protect your health, I'm hearing less of it on the major news networks. So it's important to have pathways like this open, so you have so many researchers and explorers sharing vital information with the public that can actually enhance lives and add to longevity. It's out here. The information is out here. Valid information, scientific information. The problem is you're not hearing about it on your major news networks, even now as we speak.
One of the things I think we can do is compile a resource. And I have a couple of groups on Facebook that they're not like, there's maybe 80 people in one and 40 people in the other, but they're focused on exercise. Maybe we could start posting reliable places people can go to get information for their journey, and this way create a resource. And then we can create like a page where they don't have to scroll through all the different entries to try to find this. We could just keep it all in one place, but create like a resource bank for people. And we could start it there and then add it to other things as well. So that we can offer that. And I don't know if I've spoken to you yet about the Zoom shows. Have I spoken to you about that yet?
I think you mentioned it. I think you did mention it.
Starting in August, I'm going to slowly start doing Zoom shows, which are over the phone and a camera. So if somebody has a camera, they'd be recorded so we can look at each other and people can see us. And also we could have shows longer than an hour, and we can invite like hundreds of people. So we can invite people to join the audience, not live, but on the computer. So I'm going to be slowly moving in that direction starting in August. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have, steady shows going on there. So I'm asking all my hosts and co-hosts and regular guests if they would like to make this move to Zoom, or whether they'd like to stay on Blog Talk, or both. So I guess about it. As soon as you know, let me know.
That's great that you would offer that option. And yes, it sounds like something that would benefit the listeners. So I think that's a great idea.
And once I figure out how to use it well, we could actually put pictures up for people to see of resources, and we could put links up so they could link directly from there. And then we could put the show on YouTube and Facebook as well, so more people have a chance to tune in, and not only tune in, but interact with the show.
Mm-hmm. I would like to ask how your training has been progressing lately. Have you made any major changes? Are you utilizing any new training techniques, or are you pretty much sticking with the one program since last we spoke?
Well, I've integrated a few people who have been on the show, and then some people in the groups have been reporting that they've been doing a 4x25 program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to use lighter weights if you're going to do 100 reps, even if you have brief rest in between the sets. So what right. I've done is I still do the X3, mm-hmm. but I count the X3 toward that 25. So I do it on the maximum I'm about to handle, and I'll do 25 reps. Mm-hmm. And then I'll incorporate the D weights, the kettlebells, and the dumbbells at this point. So that for each body part, I'm doing 4 to 6 sets of 25 reps. And the pyramid seemed to have worked better for me. Like I got a better pump and it felt better. I felt more firm and with the pyramid sets. But I'm trying mm-hmm. this for a month to see what happens. And either it'll work better, the same, or not as well. And I'll know then, so I'll just return to what I was doing before. And also what I did was I started taking more careful inventory. So basically the only place I feel I really need to pay a lot of attention is where my body keeps fat, mostly around the midsection.
Right, which is a problem with most of us. Yeah.
Yes, especially now that I'm older. So I've been trying various dietary and exercise methods to try to do something about that, and also to correct my posture, if it has any problems, like try to make sure that my shoulders are always back, and also to an old trick from bodybuilding of yesteryear, just try to tighten your abdominal muscles as often as you can.
Right, so, well, and the chi course that I sent to you, there are ab exercises that he displays in the photographs and what have you, and the written content, that he offers some ab exercises right along the area you're speaking of in terms of tension and what have you. And it's quite interesting. I haven't gotten there yet. I've just begun getting through it, but it's quite interesting.
Yes, I incorporate internal exercises into my routine. Like the Charles Atlas mm-hmm. course has a bunch of internal exercises also. So every now and then I make sure that, for a month and a half, I'll be doing those. Then I'll, lay off them for a while and so forth and just keep cycling. But what is more different is I started reevaluating my goals and asking myself why I have certain goals.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really doubt that I'm going to enter any bodybuilding contest. I haven't so far, and I doubt if I will at this particular point.
Oh, you never know.
You never know. But I figured I could relax on things I did that were recommended for, being in contests. And also just, generally having come to that understanding that I just enjoy working out. So it's something I like, and it's something I'll keep doing because I like it, and it has a lot of benefits to it. But it's something I enjoy. It's like regardless, I enjoy doing it. So it's something that enhances my life, makes me feel better. So I don't really need any other reasons than that.
Absolutely, it's the ultimate experience, in my opinion. In the mortal form. I mean, exercise and training, I think, is our destiny. We just have to open up the pathways to the activities, no matter what the activity might be, no matter what exercise routine might interest you or call you. I wanted to ask also, what movements specifically do you enjoy using the kettlebells?
With the kettlebells, I like doing the basic exercise. I made some routines, and I play with them all the time, but they haven't generally changed since I've been since we moved from Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, I had a home gym with two mm-hmm. benches, and I had a leg press machine, and so we haven't had that for almost a decade now. So around a decade ago, I started playing with routines that I could do with what I have in the space that I have it. So generally what I've done is I've divided my body into the head and neck.
Mm-hmm.
I have my arms, then mm-hmm. my torso, then my midsection, then my legs. So that's all how right. I broke down my body. And then I do different combinations on different days. Like sometimes I'll do push, sometimes I'll do pull exercises. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do how I've broken the body up and fit it into 7 days, which is what I've been doing now for the past year or so. And so it always boils down to that. When I used to write every single exercise down and every single rep and every single set, it worked really well on a spreadsheet. And then I could see at a glance, you know, what I was doing and whether it was working. And I think I shared that the abdominals, I'm now doing them only once a week intensely. And then during the week, if I feel like doing them or if I feel I need them, I'll do them. But I don't do them as often as I did. And I haven't noticed any ill effects from that. My pants still fit the same, basically. Still have those deposits in areas where I've had them. Yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. And I'm open to trying new ways. So your key workout that you sent me, that sounds like something I'd love doing, and I'm looking forward to implementing it. I started reading it.
Well, I like the internal energy, whether it be ki, chi, no matter what we want, prana. We know that as we're all talking about that invisible energy that does exist. It exists within our bodies, within our consciousness, and we can utilize it in the physical form. To advance ourselves overall. So I think it is exciting. Mike Dayton, who created Course, he was the real deal. I saw him break handcuffs on the Merv Griffin show. And it wasn't easy, but you could see the concentration he was putting into the effort. And he studied Qi for many, many, many years. And, boy, I'll tell you, it was impressive because you knew this guy was the real deal. His wrists were bloodied. I mean, but he did do what he said, what he went there to do. And you could see the concentration. He has a good body. He was a muscular individual. But beyond that, what impressed me most was the concentration. And I believe Qi, you know, that life-giving force that is in it, virtually everything, I think did play a part in his accomplishments. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed. The more I read and I looked at the pictures, I skimmed through the book. He looks very impressive. And I could, some of what he's doing reminds me of things I've done with Charles Atlas and with the muscle control by Magics, you know, some of those courses that I've taken. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, there is a similarity. I mean, there's a similarity between the two, no question about it. I would like to share, too, and you were talking about the higher reps. I'd like to share something I've been experimenting with, and I think there's great benefit to it, and that is the flushing principle. In the golden age, it was mostly accepted, you know, that medium and heavy weight would build muscular size and strength. Higher repetitions were effective for acquiring muscular separation and definition. That's what was always believed. But recent training techniques have demonstrated, however, that this is not necessarily true. The flushing principle advocates working just one muscle group or body part at a time, but really working to build both circulation in terms of flushing blood into the muscle and lactic acid. What I have noticed, doing multiple sets, really concentrating on one body part for a certain period of time. Well, you can either utilize one exercise with virtually no rest or multiple exercises for the same body part. I've noticed that not only does it enhance muscular separation and definition, which is what higher reps do, but also that muscular size is also effective, something that really wasn't noticed in the early days of these various training techniques. So we know that now, my personal reflections on it is while heavy weight for 6 to 8 reps will result in some muscle growth and build, no question, tendon and ligament strength, higher reps develop the total muscle and not only can enhance size, but also enhance muscular separation, detail, and definition. So I think the flushing principle, taking the delts or the biceps as an example, and working maybe at half an hour, and just whether you use various exercises or one particular exercise to keep that intensity going with virtually no rest, I think it can really accelerate muscular development. So I just wanted to share that. I think the flushing principle definitely has its merits, and the trainers might want to give it a go because I think there's something to be said for it. I think I'm not against occasionally, you know, utilizing heavier weights, but I think true development comes from the higher reps and the flushing principle and that and muscular separation, if you will, I think will greatly be enhanced by techniques such as those. So I'm really excited about that technique, and I also think it would benefit the cardiovascular system. So I just wanted to share that reflection with you.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And Ryan Foley, he's been experimenting with high reps with less weights, and he's also reported that he's been getting great results by doing that. And he recommends that people try it as well, because he also grew up with the conventional wisdom that, you know, depending on how heavy a weight you used, you had a certain rep set that you needed to use for different results. But he found that doing lighter weights and more reps gave him better results than doing less reps with much heavier weights.
I definitely agree with that. I think the, again, I think 6 to 8 reps will build a certain level of tendon and ligament strength, and it will affect the muscle on a certain level. But I think the higher reps can bring about dramatic results in development. So I definitely agree with that. I think that's the way to go, regardless of age. I think that's a training method that will help accelerate your progress in terms of the results that you might be seeking.
I've been also trying new meditation techniques that are supposed to enhance health and also musculature. So I've been experimenting using those affirmations and doing the breathing exercises and so forth. But it's still pretty early on to see if I have any great results to report. There, too, I went back to the basics with Emil Coué, who brought us autosuggestion early on in this country, and Jose Silva from the Silva Mind Control Method, or now the Silva Method, he took one of Coué's phrases and kind of souped it up a bit and used that in the Silva course. So I started with that, since that seemed to be the most popular phrase and practice. I've been doing that now, and again, I feel better. It's a simple thing. You basically relax your body, then you tell yourself that every day in every way you're getting better. And you don't focus on one particular thing, because the inner self takes things very literally. So you don't want to heal something and mess something else up. So you just say that you're getting better, you know, generally, and let your body decide, you know, what it needs to improve. And then you visualize yourself healthier, and doing things, you know, more easily and so forth. That's supposed to produce results in a good several weeks. So I'll let you know, like next show, what results I had with that.
Well, I'll be excited to hear it. You know, we sometimes forget, you know, some people dismiss this kind of thing and they don't invest much thought or practice in it, at least the populace at large. But we forget that science supports everything you've just said, that the quantum level, we know now that thoughts do affect matter. We know that. Thoughts do affect matter at the cellular level. We've seen that through an electron microscope 50 years ago, that thoughts can make a – depending on the observer, a thought can either make an atom – appear either as a wavy line or a straight line, as an example, depending on the, so we know that it's relative to each of us. So we know that if thoughts can affect matter, there's things we don't know yet. But I think through science, through mind-body science, as years go by, we will eventually discover more on how meditation and focus can change things in our lives, starting with our health and our bodies. So what you say is very true, and we sometimes forget that there in conventional science backs up what you've just said. So yes, I think you can see changes on the physiological front there. So yeah, it's exciting. I'll be anxious to hear what you've experienced.
I'll be glad to share it. And I also started, this I came up with on my own, but I imagined one day, what if I was working out in the gym on Mount Olympus? What would that be like? So my...
I'd love to hear about that.
My imagination created a very Jack Kirby-esque Mount Olympus,
yeah,
gym with all these devices. So in my mind's eye, I visit that gym a few times a week. And a lot of it is like doing single reps with maximum strength.
There's no doubt in my mind that vision that you have can have a physiological effect. That's a tremendous vision.
Yeah, it is. And so I've been having a lot of fun with that one too. So I'll share how that one comes along. But that one's a lot of fun, and it feels good to be in not only on Mount Olympus, but also in like Jack Kirby's version of Mount Olympus.
I can just imagine a Jack Kirby cover with you standing there on Mount Olympus. That would be fantastic.
Yes, that would.
That would be something to look forward to.
I would like to
share before we go.
Sure.
Are we there?
We're Hello? Almost there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, we have around 8 minutes to go.
All right, in 8 minutes, I'd like to share some science fiction favorites, if I can, quickly.
Sure, of course.
One of my all-time favorite gems, if you will, was a film called Fiend Without a Face, made in 1958. It was an independently made science fiction and horror starring Marshall Thompson, one of my favorite B-flick actors. It's the story of mysterious deaths at the hand of a mentally created invisible life forms that feed on atomic power and then steal human brains and spinal columns to use as bodies in order to multiply their numbers. Have you ever heard of this film?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Okay, if you haven't seen it, see it by all means. When visible, what you see are human brains with spines attached and two antenna-like eyes flying through the air, wrapping themselves around their victims. The film's brain creatures were created using stop-motion animation, an unusually expensive practice for such a low-budget sci-fi thriller. When the film first opened, the producers placed a replica of one of the brain creatures in a steel-barred glass case display. It periodically moved its tail, startling onlookers. The crowds that gathered outside the theater to watch it grew so large that New York City police finally ordered the display case removed since it was creating a public disturbance. 5 months later, Fiend Without a Face created a public uproar after its British premiere at the Ritz Theater. The British Board of Censors had demanded a number of cuts before the release and finally granted the film an X certificate. But newspaper critics were still aghast at its horrific special effects. My personal review is 4 stars, very unique and imaginative special effects ahead of its time. The movie is considered one of the best B-movies of the 1950s, and that was by a reviewer by the name of James Wolfe. So if you haven't seen it, it's extraordinary for its time, and I would encourage any fan to take a look. It's a heck of a lot of fun.
I found a poster in the image while you were describing it. I've seen this a long time ago, and I probably have it in one of my horror collections or sci-fi collections. I'll look for it. But I'm going to post up some information to it this way people can see, like, YouTube clips. So the whole movie might be on YouTube, too. So
that'd be great. It's fascinating and very unique. Very unique. And Marshall Thompson, along with John Agar, is one of my favorite B-film actors. But it's a B-film classic.
Well, that is great. I love movies like that. And mm-hmm. That's another thing I wanted to ask you before we finish today. Since some of the shows are moving over to Zoom There are going to be some more slots open in the podcast schedule. So I'm putting together UFO-related shows, and I was going to ask you if you wanted to co-host one of them with me.
I would love to. I would love to, and I thank you for the opportunity. I would be very grateful.
Oh, it'll be great. I'll have an extra hour to enjoy you every month or two.
It's my honor, believe me. I'm humbled to be there with you. Thank you.
And well, thank you. And we're reaching the end of today's program. Do you have any concluding thoughts to leave with people until next time?
Just everybody be aware of your nutritional program, a supplement program. If you're not engaged in one right now, I would encourage everyone to engage in a basic antioxidant program. We know what they are, because I think it will go a long way in preserving your health and protecting you from viruses of all kinds. So by all means, explore the antioxidant miracle that is available to us. Do your own research and move onward.
Very powerfully and well said. And how can people find you, Michael, and how could they get involved with your work?
Well, I have my creative health programs available for only $3 a copy. I think it's well worth it. It provides a firm foundation.
Yes, sir.
You can send or check a money order to Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, at 07006. And whether you do or do not purchase the Creative Health Manual, if you have any health concerns, please write to me, and I will personally contact you and address the issues with you and hopefully be of some help.
Thanks again, Michael. I had a wonderful time. This is an amazing hour. Give my love to everybody.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
Everybody, and I'm looking forward to our next conversation. We'll give you a call during the week.
I as well. Thank you, Hercules, and thank you to all of the Olympians.
And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you listened live, whether you called in, whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we're going to close with the golden bough, which often translates into the golden fleece in comparative mythology.
Time stood still.